Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, back here on OMF 7 and O New England Patriots. And yet last night, there's something very interesting before the game last night. I would normally say, come on. I mean, Tom Brady retiring, leaving at the end of the season last year in New England. But it was indeed Adam Schefter who brought it up on the ESPN broadcast.
We're going to talk about Tom Brady's future. Is that where we're going?
Yes.
There we go. When we talk about Tom and his future, let's look at some simple things. Has he put his home for sale? Yes. Has his trainer put his home for sale? Yes. Has he set up his contract to void after the season to become a free agent? Yes. So if he's selling his home and his trainer's selling his home and he's voiding his contract, what does that tell you? He's setting up, and we'll see, to move on. Now listen, there are many times people set up things in their life to move on and they walk to the abyss and they look down and they say, whoa, I'm not jumping now. So he could change his mind. But I'm just telling you, if you look at it in his mind, it has to be clear. He's thinking
in many
about
ways,
leaving New England.
Right?
When I asked Brady about this last night, what he said, he started listing like guys like you left and Deion Sanders went to play someplace else and Joe Namath went to play someplace else. And he said, how many people ever get to work for the same company their whole careers? And he said, look, sometimes teams want to do different things. And he said, if that's the case, if it doesn't work out, then so be it. And this is all bonus time for me.
All right, Susie Colbert adding into the story. So every time I hear Schefter talk about this, and we've heard him talk about it before, and we'll hear a little bit more because he was on with Greg Hill and the gang this morning. Schefter is adamant about this. Have you noticed that? Like, he is clinging on to this, and we all know he's really good at this. I almost think the vibe, though, he's getting from Brady, and Susie Colbert kind of reiterated that. Brady's looking at it, I think they might dump me after the year. I don't think it's a matter of Tom Brady sitting there saying, screw the New England Patriots, I'm out of here. Because we're going to hear the Tennessee rumors again. There's a new one, by the way. He's going to the Bears. That's the new one. He's going to the Bears next year.
We can't go to San Fran.
Yeah, I can't go to San Fran, even though some people will bring it up because he's from there. But don't you get the feeling that Brady might be saying stuff to people privately, but it really is about, you never know what Belichick's going to do. He might dump me. Right.
He's seen it all here. It's strange that Schefter's kind of holding on to the whole house thing. Oh, he put his house in the market. Alex Guerrero's selling his house as well. And he has a voidable contract. You know, it's weird that he's clinging on to that. Because, I mean, we discussed that when it happened, and we sort of poo-pooed the whole house thing.
Well, wealthy people live much differently. They have multiple houses.
But does it change anything, though, when Schefter starts talking about it for the second time? Or the third time? I actually think, you know, you said Brady, yeah, I think that's more of it. Like Brady realizing that the way this organization is, hey, there's a chance they could get rid of me. My contract's up at the end of the year. I mean, hopefully I can work out a deal and stay here forever, but you never know what the organization's thinking. You never know what Bill's thinking. Hey,
don't you think it's more than that?
Yeah, and I also think he likes the idea that it's out there.
Yes.
That there is a chance he could leave.
It's leverage.
Because I always felt, even when he had that contract and he wanted to make sure they got rid of the franchise tag, he wants them to sweat a little bit.
Yeah.
I think he wants the organization to sweat a little. That, you know what? Hey, I am a free agent. Now, there is a chance I turn your deal down and go somewhere else. So don't think you can just come at me and say, you know what, $15 million a year for the next couple of years. We good, Tom? I think it's negotiating.
Yeah, I think it's more. I think it's more Brady, and I think it's that he has seen so much here that he's looking at it saying, they may dump me. And so he's kind of playing it that way. But we talked about this house thing, and you guys know, athletes have houses all over the place. Brady's got houses everywhere.
Not all of them.
Well, guys like him. What's he worth? $750 million?
Probably.
So does it make a difference? Apparently, he's bought a home in Greenwich, Connecticut. That, by the way, is basically New York. That's the suburb of New York City. We know he was going there because that's where he wants to be with his wife when he's done playing, right? That's where he wants to be.
And
his kids. So we know that. This is not, and I've heard some people say, well, he's still in New England. Nah, it's not really New England. That's really New York City, right? It's in Connecticut, but it's really New York City. I don't think that has anything to do with it. It's not like the normal person out there when they're putting a house for sale and buying another one.
But do you believe
they're thinking of moving?
That Adam Schefter's like, you know, this is like sports talk radio stuff. This isn't, you know, Adam Schefter. Like, ooh, he's selling his house. Tom wants out.
Yeah.
Ooh, Alex Guerrero's selling his house. He wants out. When Schefter's talking about this, he's getting it from someone.
Yeah.
This is Adam Schefter.
No, of course. That's why I brought it up, because I think you pay attention when Schefter is doing it. And he was on Greg Hill's show this morning, and he was doubling down on all of this stuff.
Again, it's one thing to think that he's leaving, and one thing to have it set up for him to leave. And a lot of people plan a lot of big, significant decisions in their life. And then they walk to the bed like, I'm going to get married. Oh, I got cold feet. Or I'm going to end this marriage. And then you look down in the abyss, and you're like, I'm not going to jump. I'm not going to take that jump. And you don't do it, right? So it may just be that it's set up for him. And he doesn't. Like, that could happen, too. We don't know. But I'm just saying it's set up right now. I think if you just look at the basic facts of the situation, anybody using any common sense would say that there's a real possibility that this is his last season in New England. Whether that means he retires, goes to another team, I think everything's on the table.
All right, so I think if they go 16-0, they win the whole thing, is there a possibility he just drops the mic and says, that's it, I got 7, I'm good, I can walk away right now, my wife is sitting here, come back home, come on.
I still don't think so.
Okay, because he keeps talking about 45.
Why is he still playing? Is he playing to win 7? I think he's playing because
he likes it.
I think in the end we'll sit there and say he told us for many years he wanted to play till he's 45. He wants to play till he's 45. That's what motivates him every day. He's accomplished everything. Sure, one more Super Bowl would be 7, of course, and separate himself from a lot of people, Jordan included, as far as athletes of all time. But I really do think it's about age. He's set a goal, and that's what's motivating. That's what's driving him, 45.
Yeah, so the one thing I've learned about Schefter is that he does not like to be challenged. So Wiggy kind of checked him a little bit, and I felt like Schefter kind of jumped ugly on him.
Let's just look at the basic facts. His home is for sale. His trainer's home is for sale. He set up his contract to void after this year. What does that tell you?
Well, home for sale thing, I don't really buy into that. I understand the contract. But why? A lot of players live in parts of the country where they don't play. So, but he's still going to play next year. He's still going to have to commute, hypothetically, from Connecticut to Tennessee.
You're assuming that he plays. Like, we don't know how it's going to play out, okay? All we're saying is that the idea that this is his last season with the Patriots, that was his last Monday Night Football game with the Patriots last night, is a real possibility. That's all.
He's just leaving it really open there.
Yeah, he
of
is.
Course, that's a possibility. That's what he's doing. So there's a million things that are possibilities. Right. So
what is the probability? What is the probability?
Let
me ask you this. The probability of Tom Brady, if the Patriots still want him back next year, all right, we're going on that premise, because I think Brady might be telling people.
I think he's just trying to freak the Patriots
exactly.
out. Squeeze him a
little
bit.
Exactly. So what are the chances if the New England Patriots want Tom Brady back next year and are willing to pay that $35 million whatever price, that Tom Brady doesn't come back and goes to Tennessee or goes to Chicago or somewhere else? I think they're slim and none.
That he goes to another team?
Slim and none.
I've always thought that's always been a real possibility. No, I think that it is. I think that there is something intriguing and attractive about just having all those experiences all over again. New drive to the stadium.
Oh my God.
It is. I'm telling you.
43 years old?
Yes, it's real easy.
I think you're crazy. What,
no, I don't think I am at all. And I wouldn't be saying this if other guys before him didn't do it.
No, not at 43. They haven't.
Doesn't matter. Take the age out of it because I think it becomes irrelevant at this point in time based on everything.
Oh, I don't think it's irrelevant at all.
Peyton Manning did it. Brett Favre did it. Like, they've all been great. Hold on. Doesn't matter. They still did it. So what if he was forced out?
No,
he still wanted
difference.
To play. Joe Montana did it. So what are you acting like he's so much better than Joe Montana?
But you have to understand that those things have a lot to do with it.
And let's not act like he hasn't seen everybody else do it.
You missed my premise.
What is your premise?
The premise was the New England Patriots want him back. We assume they're going to want him back. Because I don't see anybody here that's taking his place.
Okay, I agree with you. Okay, now what? Okay, that's your premise.
Well, they're going to have to pay the $35 million. They're already going to hit him with six.
Keep going.
So they go to him and they offer him a one-year deal, a year-to-year deal of $35 million.
Okay.
He's going to sit there and say, no, screw you, Robert. Matter of fact, did I get you good when I did that Netflix thing? I got you a couple
jabs.
That
was a sign. You should have known better. No, but
and he's going to get up and go to Tennessee? What are we talking about?
Let me add to that. If he's out
and the Patriots don't want him back, that's a whole different
ballgame. You say $35 million. Okay, fine. They're not. I'm telling you, they're not going a cent over 27.5.
And
somebody else is going to go 35. Now what are we doing?
Well, Glenn, to your point.
Now it's worth $750 million, and we're going to talk about $8 million difference.
Stop. You got to stop acting.
And after taxes, it's $4 million.
You don't think he's irritated or agitated the fact that all these other guys are making more money than him?
I think he's going to get his
you
money
You act
here.
Like the unless money he, is. I know, but.
Unless he totally falls apart between now and the end of the season,
Glenn?
He's going to get
they
his money back.
They don't do it. I know you keep saying they don't do it, though. So you're acting like history is going to change.
Yeah, but he
they don't do it.
But there's a difference. They didn't have to do it in the past. And he played the game
with
them.
Well, I think this is where the rubber meets the road.
Now he's got no contract.
Now the game of chicken really begins.
So you're going to offer him, you think they're going to offer him $35 million and carry a $41.5 million cap hit in a quarterback?
No, they'll give it over 2 years and they'll stretch it and they'll take dead money when he finally leaves. So they'll get a year of dead money and they'll have a cheaper quarterback that year and that's when they pay it off.
I think he's just making them sweat a little bit.
Yes, I do too.
And when you talk about money, it's like, okay, well, that's what it's all about. See, I don't, to your point, the guy's worth plenty of cash. He's got cash. So it's not about money anymore. It's about what the money represents.
It's respect.
And that's
pride,
respect.
All that, yeah.
So when you come to him and say, listen, we're already giving you $6.5 million on the cap hit. If we're going to sign you to a one-year deal, that money's going to be about $21, $22 million, $23 million. And it might be another team saying, we don't carry a dead cap. We'll give you the $35 million. So I think it's more about what the money represents in respect, and he's making sure of it to get the word out to people like Schefter and others that, hey, don't count on it. Just you're going to have to pay me a little bit here.
He will. They will.
Oh,
there's
okay.
no question. But I think you guys are crazy if you think he's going to get up and walk out of here because the New England Patriots.
You're focusing on his age, and you shouldn't be.
Oh, I absolutely
no. Here's the
have
thing:
to.
Whether completely you're 30
other, no, other teams are going to look
no,
at
listen,
his age
when
too,
you,
guys.
When you're 37 years old, if you think you can play for 3 more years. He thinks he can play for 3 more years, so he's going to go somewhere for 3 more years. It don't matter if he's 42 or 35. Three more years.
I don't like the fact that you're downplaying how liberating it is to kind of experiencing something
rejuvenating.
It is. I'm telling
you,
Glenn.
Are you getting your frustrations in an organization now years later?
It is.
It'll remotivate
you need to go to the couch.
Listen, it's not like I was with the Seattle Seahawks for 7, which felt like an eternity.
But like 70.
Not 20. But I remember there was some fear, but I remember just how excited I was about just the new experience, right? It's different. Now, I only wanted to do it once. The experience in Washington sucked, and the experience in Carolina sucked also. But it does inspire you. And
I think
other guys do it all the time.
Yeah, I think it'd be crazy to do it. I think what he's doing, though, is he's making them sweat, as Lou said. I also think he's looking at it, and he's basically saying, I've seen them dump a lot of guys over the years. They probably be planning on dumping me at the end of this year, wanting to extract as much as they can from me. I just don't think that's going to happen, especially with Robert Kraft here.
So he's making the commute every day from Brookline to Foxborough.
Every week.
All right, 617-779-7937 right here on OMF.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Take OMF with you wherever you go. Download the Radio.com app. Now back to Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier on WEEI.
Why does he want to leave? Tired of, there's definitely part of I want to win without Bill, and I'm sure there's part of Bill that said I want to prove I can coach a team without Tom.
I completely
right?
agree
that they're
with
joined
that.
At the
yes.
hip. So Tom is also pretty self-aware that he knows that you're coming to an end. Not going to go to a Super Bowl contending team because those Super Bowl contending teams have quarterbacks.
Except for the Bears.
Right.
So a Super Bowl caliber defense.
Super Bowl caliber
defensive
defense.
Weapons and a good offensive-minded coach. And who, if they shore up some things along the offensive line, could be enticing enough for Tom Brady to look.
I do not.
Be sick. I don't even buy that anymore.
Chicago.
I don't buy that way of thinking.
No.
I'm done with the whole, hey, I want to win without Tom. I want to win without Bill. I don't think that goes into their mind at all.
I don't think it exists.
Well, what is that? So what does that mean?
So Bill's going to let a guy go that gives him a better chance of winning another Super Bowl championship just so that he can prove to the public that he can do it without that guy. It's ludicrous.
No. And that's not even it to me. It's like if the separation happens, then both will be extremely motivated to win without the other.
Yes, but it's not reason why they want to split.
No, right. It's not like Bill's not going to sit there and say, okay, you know what? We're not even going to offer you a contract, Tom. Good luck somewhere else. I'm going to prove I can win.
Tom.
And Tom's like, you know what? Thanks for the $35 million offer, but I'm going to turn it down because I want to prove I can win.
Yeah.
If the split happens, to your point, Christian, I mean, Brady's, if he thinks he can play another 3 years and he goes somewhere else, there's that extra motivation, a different area, wanting to win with another team, want to win another Super Bowl with a different team. That's motivation for a guy at 42, 43 years old. Bill, on the flip side, would do the same thing. All right, listen, no Tom. I got a great defense here that can beat anybody. So now I'm going to go prove that we can still win it, without Brady.
Do you guys think it was odd that during the telecast, all the focus, like, so here locally, it's Steve Belichick, Rob Mayo's the defensive coordinator. They're calling all the plays, right? And Bill is overseeing it. During the telecast and even after the game when they were talking to Kyle Van Noy, all the emphasis was just on how, wow, this is Bill's greatest defense. Look at him coaching on the sideline. Look at him doing everything. He's doing everything. This is fine. It's got his stamp on it, right? To me, they're just, maybe they have inside information, but they're assuming and going with the fact that it is 100% Bill running the meetings. I heard other guys talking about it, too. I heard Ted Johnson talking about it. How, no, 100% Bill is running those meetings. So it's not Gerard Mayo running the team meeting. It's not Steve Belichick. It's Bill running the team meetings.
But a lot of the players have come out and talked about Bill's presence and the difference with Bill's presence over the last few weeks. So 100% may be a stretch, but let's face it, a big part of the success of this defense is the fact that maybe the greatest defensive coordinator of all time has got his fingers all over it.
Well, I mean, is he just the defensive coordinator but without title? I mean, is he running the defensive meetings? Is he calling the plays?
It's always his defense.
No, yeah. I know, but it always has been. It wasn't with Romeo Crennel. I mean, obviously, Romeo was doing his own thing. Flores was doing his own thing.
Yeah,
Matt
Flores Flores and Patricia, when they were the defensive coordinators, you know, and whether they had the title or not, you know, they would show Patricia on the sideline of Flores, but it was still Bill's defense.
It'll always be Bill's defense. Okay, it's Bill's defense as far as, okay, hey, I invented it, right? It says, well, listen, I decided 3-4, lots of linebackers, got to be creative, got to have multiple, blah, 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 whatever. but the fact is that he's calling the plays. I mean, do you think Bill has anything to do with the offense whatsoever?
Not as much.
No. Why is it not Bill's offense?
Not as much.
But you could see it last night again when that whole Harmon interception came, and he wasn't even paying attention. He had the defense in a huddle, and he was all over them because they had just committed, you know, three penalties on that last drive, two of them by J.C. Jackson. And you could see he was into it. So, yeah, is he making the call on the headset? No, I happen to think Steve Belichick is doing it.
But the blueprint is created by him.
But they're all on the headset, and you know how it works, Christian. He's overriding everything, so he's still in control of everything. And you can't tell me that's not a factor, because every one of those players not only respects him, but they're probably scared bleepless of him. Correct?
Yeah, in other words, if they were to call something or have a certain game plan that he didn't agree with, you think it would still happen?
No.
Not a chance.
No.
So, I mean, he's just sort of overseeing it, you know, like listening to the calls going in and being like, yep, yep, yep. And I'm sure he coaches up, you know, his son and Mayo to the point where they know exactly what to go and what they're trying to accomplish going into that game. I'm sure they're very prepared in the game plan to the point where he can just sit back and just sort of okay everything. But it's still, it's always going to be his defense.
Right. All right, let's get to your phone call. 617-779-7937. A lot to talk about, and Bill Belichick will join us in the 5 o'clock hour. Here's Scott in Weymouth. Hey, Scott.
Glenn, good afternoon, sir.
How are you, Scott?
I'm well. How are you?
Good. Good.
All right, I'm going to touch on 2 points. We're going to talk Pats real quick and then Greenwich, Connecticut real quick, in and out in 40. All right? I hate the acquisition of Mohamed Sanu. Hate it, and I'll tell you why.
Good.
You don't mess with perfection. That trade should be a trade that happened once they drop a game. They're 7-0, and I don't want to hear that they haven't played anybody yet. And I'm not going to get nostalgic about me, but when I remember playing high school hockey, said, oh, you're 4-0 at Weymouth High School, but you haven't beat anybody.
Yeah,
I say, well, all you can do is beat the teams in front of you.
Yeah, but, Scott, you're missing – hold on, you're missing the point.
Yet, Glenn.
They added an offensive player, and the offense has not been great. Matter of fact, yesterday, Christian actually called it terrible. And I don't think it's terrible – but it wasn't real good. They needed this player. That's why Brady is kind of sulking a little bit, because he knows it. They're 7-0 because their defense is giving up 3.9 points per game. That's it.
Hey, who do you think? Thank you. Take a bite of him, please. Who do you think
Thank you
think
for
has
listening.
The best defense is the Patriots. I'll just give it to them. Maybe there's some other ones, but say for the sake of
this
argument,
they're the best.
They're the best defense in the NFL. Give me your top 5 offenses.
Kansas City.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
They will be.
I'm assuming that.
All right,
Mahomes
because
is
like,
eventually
I feel like
be
by default they get picked number one, even though.
Baltimore probably would be number one with Mahomes down with an injury. Wouldn't you say that?
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, Baltimore.
Okay.
What is Baltimore averaging?
Just don't worry about it. Just
Green
keep
Bay,
going.
Seattle, and you better start worrying about New Orleans.
Yes.
Because when Breeze comes back and Kamara's healthy,
they'll open it up.
They'll still be a dangerous team.
Yeah, and I think with all that being said. Okay, maybe the Patriots offense isn't top 5, but they've won Super Bowls when they have not been top 5.
Yes.
They've navigated the schedule, the circumstances, without having to be the best offense in the NFL.
But, Christian, we all know, we were aware of it. You called them terrible yesterday. I thought it was a stretch, but I get where you're going. Once they face really good teams, and eventually you're going to do it, certainly in the postseason you're going to do it, offensively you need to be better. So do they need to be in the top 10 offensively, and if they're number one defensively, then you probably have the most well-rounded team in the NFL.
See,
if
you
that's the case.
And I would
New
say,
Orleans,
okay.
I think, is going to be looking at them with, as Lou said, with Breeze back and looking at their defense, that may be eventually in the NFC the most well-rounded team.
Yeah. Well, all right. Well, I still think that you haven't even come close to seeing what this defense is capable of, which is crazy. You haven't seen it yet. And offensively, you haven't really seen what their floor is yet, because they haven't had to win a game yet. We don't know.
So you're
still
on the terrible.
I am.
Stage?
Yeah, I still feel like. Well, it was Sanu. It's different, though. I should say they're going to be good now. They're going to be good.
Okay, so they're no longer terrible.
No, they
but
jump
they're
from
be good now.
Yeah.
So you should be happy. They could be, as I said, in the end, they could be the most well-rounded team in the AFC. Because they're going to be number one probably in the AFC defensively, because I'm with you. This defense is going to continue to get better, and you're going to see it when they face really good teams, offensive teams. You'll see Baltimore in a couple weeks. Cleveland.
But I would also say
so-called
else,
great offenses don't have that defense to go with it.
Correct.
Although New Orleans might
New
be
Orleans
different.
Is the
we'll
one
see.
In the NFC, I think.
But
that
the AFC, no.
Right.
If Kansas City had the defense that New England did and the multiple opportunities that they got to get a fresh set of downs,
they'd be
70
team.
Points a game.
Right. They'd be the most well-rounded team.
So the Patriots are number 10 in the NFL right now, yards per game, at 377 in the league.
Right. And it's deceiving because the points are higher. So it's a little bit deceiving.
And the points, you know,
but the points
are
being scored by the defense.
Right.
And not only when the defense scores on like a pick six, but when the defense gives the offense a short field like they did last night.
That's the other point. Like the other day we were saying how they're fifth in the league in actually offensive points, you know. But last night, as you saw, you had that, what was it, the one interception, they got a field goal out of it. So that's, they didn't even get a first down. They had three plays minus 4 yards. They got a field goal in that second possession. That's points for the defense. Even though technically it wasn't an interception, pick six, or a block punt, you had a safety. So there's other – they scored another touchdown off another interception. So the short fields, it may not be pick six, block punts for touchdowns, but the interceptions they're getting in the red zone, they're turning around, boom, scoring. Those are those, I know they're offensive touchdowns, but that's because the defense is putting them in spots.
Look at it this way. The defense,
short field.
Defense has given up 27 points in seven games. How many of the defense scored?
37.
For New England's offense.
With the safety last night. 37.
37. Yeah. It's unbelievable. This hour sponsored by Kaplansky Insurance. More choices, more savings. Kaplansky.com.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We're back with more Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier on Sports Radio WEEI. It's time for Out of Context Quotes from Glenn Ordway. Here's Glenn.
We're going to go out and start eating babies. I'm not eating babies, no. We're not going to do
I know,
that.
No, you're eating there. Some steak, you're eating some egg
God.
Rolls.
Davio's just dropped off lunch for the boys here. It's pretty good, huh?
Eating babies.
What a spread. You know, do you think Davio's would ever serve babies? And if he did, how would he serve them?
Rare plus.
Like maybe would he serve them at the airport?
No, maybe babies.
Probably just
baby chickens. Or how about veal? Veal's, yeah. You know, baby.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. Like, yeah, exactly. I was about to say something really inappropriate.
They're here.
Really
you want to shut up now. They're here in Foxborough. They're in Linfield. They're at the airport right now.
They're in Orange County.
They're in Orange County.
They're in Atlanta. Atlanta, if you're ever going to Atlanta. Yep.
Philadelphia. And soon to be in Seaport. That's going to be and that's going to be the massive Davio's. Like,
the massive.
Massive. Are they going to call it Massive Davio's?
No, they're going to call it Davio Seaport, I think.
So not Massive Davio's?
They should call it
I'll call it Massive. But they brought the boys food today, and the food is terrific.
Yeah, you're one of the boys. Thank you, very good. Yeah. Oh, Davio's is actually going to – Davio's will be sponsoring the dinner hour of the Fourier's 25 or 25.
Oh, isn't that awesome. Nice?
You're going to bring some food in, give me some energy, a little steak and potatoes,
we'll
some protein.
We'll put you to bed.
Awesome.
See, that'd be a mistake if I eat the pasta bolognese. That'd
oh,
be a problem.
Done.
Hey, have a glass of wine.
You don't want
have some pasta and wine.
The Philly cheese.
You're sleeping
and,
at 11.
Philly cheese and steak, that'll put you to sleep. You don't want that. That'd mail you out. All right, let's take a couple phone calls. Then we got to get into this whole story. Adam Gase is now getting more pissed off by the hour over the ESPN mic'd up situation.
Your quarterback's freaking lost.
Jay is in Fall River. What do you got, Jay?
Hey, how you doing, guys? Thanks
good.
For taking the call. So I think you're all over it. I mean, I'm the biggest Brady supporter there is, defender there is, you know, around. But lately, and if you look at it, it's almost like there's so much attention Bill's showing to his plays, got him huddled up. I mean, he even gives the kid his name, Perry. He got the fifth receiver. When's the last time you seen him come over and hug an offensive guy like that? And he's just showing so much. I mean, he was enjoying it. I didn't even know he had that many teeth. He looked like he had three rows of teeth. He was over there smirking. He's, you know, enjoying himself.
I don't know what you're looking at. I think you're getting a lot of body language that doesn't play in it. Yeah. So point was you wanted to make that.
He's over there sulking. You know what I mean? He's over there sulking because just before, I mean, we've been at
well,
the
how do you know? Well, how do you,
years.
But how do you know? You're seeing.
Let me just say what I got to
okay,
say.
Okay, go ahead.
So, I mean, we've been at his mercy for 20 years and we've loved it. This is the first time we've ever seen that it's because of everybody else and not him. And he's having a hard time controlling that. And so he's playing this, like, oh, I'm going to put my house up in this tick and tack. It doesn't, he needs to say, you know what? I can agree. I might be able to sit back here and actually ride this 45-year-old.
I think he's doing that, but he wants to score more points, and he's on the offensive side of the ball. I think what you're doing is you're taking selective video that you're watching on ESPN. You're not seeing everything when you watch the game.
Do we know who the quarterback is? It's Tom Brady. He's one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. You think he's happy with just going along for the ride? You don't think he wants to contribute? You don't think he tries to score every time he steps on the field with his team, with the offense? And when it doesn't go well, you don't think there's frustration? There always has been. So why would it change now? You think, because he wins 13-10, he's going to be excited? Yeah, he's excited he won the football game, a regular season game. If it's a Super Bowl, he won't give a rat's ass as long as they win the Super Bowl. But in a regular season,
that's different.
He's going up there putting up 16 points or whatever the hell it was against Buffalo, and offense is not looking good against Washington. You just expect him to be ecstatic because his job, the offense that he's leading, isn't performing at a level that he feels is acceptable?
Yeah, but
he's going to be upset about that. That's why he's the greatest of all time.
Yeah, listen, I think he's pouting a little bit because of the offense, and he has the right to do that. And people were pissed off a couple weeks ago. Why is he still liking all of Antonio Brown stuff?
Not anymore.
Because he liked Antonio Brown.
Oh, no. I bet. Hold on.
He already liked it.
When? Since the Sanu trade?
Yeah, Sanu took a, put a tweet out there and he liked it.
And said, hey, you were my inspiration?
Yeah, something like that.
Antonio Brown?
Yeah, something like that. So, listen. He wants to be part of the offense. But this whole idea of body language.
Perfection.
But this idea of body language, if you're watching on TV, you're not seeing everything that's going on unless you're here at the stadium and watching every move he makes in the entire game. I mean, people keep on saying that. Well, I see him grinning with the defense. Well, what's he supposed to do?
I mean, the offense goes 3-and-out. What do you say? Oh, he walks off the field. This is going to be great. I can't wait to watch the defense play. No. Like you saw, like the screen pass that was set up to Sony Michel. Great pass catching back, right in his hands and dropped it. The reaction that he had, it's like, what, Tom? You should be happy. You're winning. Like this is like the Thornton people of the world, right? Like, and this is you don't even get your own quarterback. Like he's looking for perfection. Every week they're trying to get better. You think they're happy? You think Brady's happy being 7-0? Yes. You think he's happy the way his offense that he's leading is performing? I say no.
No, and I don't blame him. I really don't blame him. But matter of fact, last night, the offense, they dropped 4 passes last night, all right in their hands, that they should have had.
Edelman.
White, Edelman, the Michelle one, and the one that went off of Ben Watson's face mask. Okay, that's 4. And look at the difference in his numbers. Passing rating would have been over 100 if they catch those 4 passes. Yeah, so they were right on target.
So it doesn't need to be perfect, but the easy stuff you got to be able to do.
Right.
Like, I would say that the Dorsett catch was high-level stuff. I mean, it was an unbelievable throw. The defender was all over him. He almost dropped the ball, but he was able to catch it and then keep his feet in bounds.
Yeah.
To me, that was unbelievable. Edelman's catch, come on, you got to catch that. He will. Ben, I just don't think he was ready.
No.
Dorsett, I think it came
at
him a little hot.
Ben made a couple nice catches later on.
Yeah, he made a huge third down catch. He made up for it, and you saw Ben on the sideline, and he was just kind of laughing about it going, because to me, that's the worst thing that can happen. The worst thing that can happen is when the ball hits you in the back of the head because you're not looking. The second thing is actually be looking like you're looking at the ball and hit you in your face, man. That's the second worst thing.
Well, that's a reminder, right? I mean, hey, speed.
Always be ready.
Speed of the game. Let's go.
Yeah, exactly.
Come on now.
Let me go to Anthony in Boston wants to talk about Brady. Go ahead, Anthony.
Guys, I couldn't agree with you more. He's a perfectionist, and he wants us to be excelling because when the defense does go against, a high-flying offense like Kansas City and the Baltimore Ravens, we need to be able to put up points. And if we're not doing it early in the year right now, we can't expect it to just happen later on. So that's why he's upset, even though the defense is playing unbelievable.
Listen, I think he's been forthright this year in telling people that the team is not good enough. They don't have a seasoned veterans enough offensively to do what he wants to do this year. And I don't get it. So a lot of the fans just look at the record and they say, what's he pitching for? They're 7-0. Yeah, and they've played who? Donkeys.
No, it's not about what he's bitching. So what are you bitching at? They're 7-0, and you want better production from the offense.
Well, he's bitching, though.
Your own quarterback is the one
that
is 7-0, and the only thing positive he can talk about is his defense, special teams, and the fact that they've won 7 games. Well, what about your offense? We'll see. How do you feel about the other? They're working hard. Like, he's not very complimentary of an offense that is 7-0, and point differentials through the roof and historic. Yeah, he expects more.
So do
and
we,
that's why he's great.
Do we not realize, though, that
and he
the,
should.
The reason this team has won for the last 20 years is they pride themselves on perfection?
And this guy will help.
Exactly.
Will help.
Well, I would say that personnel is no longer an excuse.
Not at the wide receiver.
No.
You've cleaned up one hole.
The running game? The running game? The running game?
No. Well, I would just say, as far as you got a lot of good players. I'll put it that way. We have a lot of good players.
And Sanu may bail you out of your running game because he's a possession receiver. Now you've got guys that let little short, little passing
game.
Yeah,
but that's not my biggest issue. My biggest issue is just the short yardage issues, just how difficult it is for them to get a yard. How much?
What do you mean? Sony got three touchdowns. He was outstanding.
Oh, that's right. That's right. My bad.
Oh, you like Michelle now, Maloney?
Yeah, but that's where. But that's where Sanu will help.
2.2 yards on an average. Like, and did you see the touchdowns? Ben Watson, Newhouse rolling out. He walked in untouched. The other one, like he tried two or three times, couldn't get in. Finally, had a little hole and got it snuck through. Anyone want to tell me Brandon Bolden could have done any of that?
Yeah, I don't know.
Anyone?
I don't know. And Brandon Bolden did get flipped over one time out there. But I agree with you. I think he's more powerful than Sony Michel. And I'm not blaming it all on Sony Michel. Maybe you don't have the offensive line, especially the push off the middle to give him space out there. And by the way, once again, the Patriots do a phenomenal job on Le'Veon Bell. They have got him all figured out. That little slide that he has, that little hesitation.
He's a good back, though.
He's a great back.
He's a really good
back.
He's
one of the good backs, better backs in the league. But they've got him figured out.
Well, he had a—listen— Not all the time. I would say if they had two runs, he was their only weapon.
Yes.
That was it. And he had some pretty good runs, and the guy has always fallen forward. He rarely takes a negative play. Just imagine. Can you just imagine if you're the Jets, if you just had just maybe any production whatsoever, any threat whatsoever, he becomes a legitimate weapon, but he's useless.
All right, so the Jets are up in arms because they're – second-year quarterback, Sam Darnold, is mic'd up by ESPN, by the NFL. They're in charge of all of that. They make the decisions, NFL films, as to what will air and what won't air. And they aired him basically saying that he was seeing ghosts last night.
Seeing ghosts.
So Adam Gates talking today about ESPN airing this line.
Usually when it's a Monday night game and, you know, somebody's usually mic'd up, I know once a year I have to do the same thing. I mean, it's just kind of part of the deal. And, you know, obviously, you know, you're never anticipating something like that happening. And the fact that it did just gives us pause to really cooperate anymore because, I mean, I don't know how we can allow, you know, our franchise quarterback to be put out there like that.
All right, let me ask the question. He's a 22-year-old franchise quarterback, second year. He's the future of your organization. And he gets embarrassed last night, and I think you compared it to the butt fumble from a few years ago with the Jets.
Yep.
It's that embarrassing.
Yeah.
Go look at the New York tabloids today. They are making fun of it. And this kid, who knows whether he'll get over it or not. Shame on Adam Gase. Why would you allow the league to mic this guy up? You got a lot of other Leonard Williams.
Yeah, it's real easy. Real
Adam.
Easy.
Right.
Real easy to blame the
Le'Veon Bell.
Blame the NFL.
Le'Veon Bell tweeted out, "The NFL screwed Sammy over. There's not one player in the NFL who's cool with having every sideline convo broadcasted to millions. There's a reason we've never heard other quarterbacks frustrating the sideline like that before. That's crazy. NFL did Sam dirty as hell."
Okay, so I can understand why ESPN wants him and the NFL wants him mic'd up. He was the offensive player of the week last week, and that was a terrific game he had against Dallas. He's 22. It's Monday Night Football.
Take
He's going up against the best defense in the National Football League. And what you're doing is you're giving motivation to the other guys. You don't think the Patriots all knew he was mic'd up last night? They all knew. Okay, you're just playing in their hand. If I'm Adam Gase, I'd say, finest whatever you want. I'm giving it. You want a player? Well, you can ask Le'Veon. You can ask Leonard. You can ask some other player. I'm not putting my 22-year-old franchise quarterback out for slaughter.
Yeah.
I'm not doing it.
That was the biggest mistake right there. Maybe they got caught up in the hullabaloo that existed based on
the fact.
Oh,
look at the marketing.
Hey, you beat Dallas.
Well, really,
Dallas
you think
is a good
about
team.
It, you should never really mic up a quarterback. Right? I mean, it should be a defensive player.
What is Brady mic'd up? Edelman's been mic'd up recently.
Exactly. But, I mean, a quarterback? You know, you think about it, I mean, not that you would air everything, but most of it, you know, he's sitting there calling plays. I mean, there's just, why even bother miking a quarterback? It's like you said, Edelman's done it before. Get a defensive player. McCourty, I think, has done it before. G- Get a defensive guy. Get a wide receiver. Your quarterback? Yeah, I mean, listen, blame yourself, too, for allowing it to happen.
Absolutely.
Pick somebody else.
Adam Gase is sitting there bitching about the NFL and the NFL screwing the kid. Why would you allow the kid to be put in that position? You don't know who's making that call on NFL films. It could be, you know, some young person who's sitting there, oh, he said ghost. This is awesome. And it's Halloween in 2 weeks. This is imperfect.
So,
and they embarrassed the hell out of him. They did. And that was,
yeah,
and
I thought
that was a normal reaction. He's on the sidelines going, holy crap, basically. They are coming at me. I've got no idea what's going on. And by the way, Gase is sitting there having a conversation with him.
Yeah,
you
need
that
to reset.
They picked up. You have to reset.
Yeah, and that was pathetic because Gase didn't believe it. Darnold didn't believe it. Both of them were looking at each other like, okay, let's just act like we think we can do something. It was hopeless. The situation was hopeless. But at the same time, I don't know, guys. He's mic'd up. They used it. It was great sound. It fit what was the circumstances.
It's great for the audience.
It played to the defense and their nickname.
That's the boogeyman. It's real.
No.
You couldn't have had it. So okay. So imagine the NFL. It's their decision what they give ESPN to use. He actually said, "I see ghosts," and their nickname is the boogeyman. We gotta play this. He looked like he was seeing ghosts. It looked like he was like a deer, you know, staring at headlights. He couldn't move.
That was so bad. It also looked like an unprepared quarterback.
Yes.
And then you go to Adam Gase, you know, and you look at him. I'm just, you know, what are they now? Six games into it?
He's the guy that's got the popped out eyes, too. You know?
You're a GM, you're an owner. You look at Adam Gase and say, yep, he's the guy. He's the quarterback whisperer. You know, our starter went down. And, you know, we turned into the Miami Dolphins who were trying to tank. I got this kid with all this ability, and a game like that happens. Like, really, Adam Gase? There's a reason why Bill Belichick hyped him up so much last week, when he was talking about him. Because he wants him to stay in the division. He wants him to stay in the division. It's beautiful. We had Gase in Miami. Now we get Gase in New York. It's outstanding. Guy's freaking lost.
Genius.
I mean, think about all the backup quarterbacks, third-string quarterbacks, teams are surviving, right? They're winning games. That's not an awful team over there.
And a lot of people were saying, listen, what are you doing to this guy? Not only are you going to lose him, he's going to get skittish mentally, but he's going to lose the respect of the players. Well, you know who his backup is? David Fales.
Yeah.
And when you see those two come out of the tunnel.
He's got the perfect name for his game, by the way.
It looked like something you would see at a Pop Warner high school, or like a high school game. These kids look so young and so inexperienced. So if Darnold gets pulled, what are you going to throw Fales to the Lions?
Well, do you hear?
Yeah, eat him.
Well, Booger McFarland was saying that last night. I'm sitting there going, that's the last thing you want to do right now.
What are you going to do? Your option is Fales.
Right.
Okay. What does that mean? How do you think about Fales?
Hey, listen,
I'm not going in.
Listen, it's great for the audience having a player mic'd up and he says stuff and it's organic and it is great. I'd rather hear a lot more of Sam Darnold than Booger McFarland. It would have been a lot better doing the commentary.
Seeing ghosts.
On the other hand,
that's not good.
Adam Gase, you deserve this. I mean, this was stupid to allow your franchise quarterback at 22 years of age to go out there mic'd up. Makes no sense at all. All right, 617-779-7937. Coming up in the next hour of this very program, we have Bill Belichick.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.